In our previous message in Acts 2 weeks ago, we talked about how amazing miracles were a daily occurrence in the early days of the church. In the beginning of the church, miracles were occurring every day. The Lord was moving in the ministry of the apostles in a powerful way through the Holy Spirit, and people were being healed, and many other great things were happening every day. It was an everyday occurrence in that time. Now, in Acts chapter 5, 16, last time we read, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. So we can imagine the people are coming from far away. The people are coming from nearby, and they're coming looking for healing, looking for encouragement, and they're being blessed by a powerful move of God among the people, the Lord doing miracles through the work of the disciples in that time in just amazing ways. The apostles are out there ministering, and all the people are, I think, filled with joy to see God moving in such a wonderful way. The people were full of joy, but there were some people who were not happy about what was happening. Not everyone was happy. So let's look today in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 26, and we'll see some religious leaders of that time that had a very different reaction. They were not happy about what God was doing through the disciples. Let's take a look. Acts 5, 17 and following. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail, but during the night an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." And on hearing this, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering, what would come of this? Then someone came and said, look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people. At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. So we hear the basic story, you know, the apostles are doing many great miracles and God is moving among the people and people are being healed. But the high priest and the Sadducees are jealous. So they have the apostles arrested and they put them in jail. But in the middle of the night, an angel comes and leads the apostles out of jail and tells them, go, stand in the temple courts, tell the people the good news. So the next day, the priest and the Sadducees come together and they say, go get those men from the jail, but they're not there. The guards didn't know the angel had led them out. And then someone came and said, hey, they're at the temple. They're preaching. They're telling the people about Jesus. And the chief priests, the Sadducees said, what is happening? And they sent the guard again to go arrest them. And he brought them. But the captain of the guard was careful because he says, the people love these apostles, these disciples. If we're rough with them, the people might stone us. So next week we'll talk about the time the apostles now are going to be before the Sanhedrin, before the high priest, for a sort of trial on the charges of doing good and helping people. Basically, that's what it is, for blessing people with healing. But today we're going to focus on this passage. Now, think about it. The religious leaders could have praised God for the miraculous healings that were taking place. But they chose a darker path. It says, then the high priest and all his associates were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They were filled with jealousy, and they tried again to stop the apostles by arresting them and having them thrown in jail. Now, from their actions, we realize that these religious leaders did not fear God. God is working in a mighty way, and they are arresting and throwing in jail the people God is working through. These men, these religious leaders, they had a knowledge of the scriptures. They knew the Old Testament scriptures thoroughly. They had high rank in the religious system of that day. They were important people in Israel. But we understand here they did not fear God. They were trained in the scriptures, and they certainly would have been familiar with the words of Psalm 111, verse 10, where it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. They would certainly have known this verse, but somehow they had come to disregard the warnings of Scripture, and they had instead become arrogant and overconfident in their own power and authority. They refused to recognize Jesus when he was ministering amongst the people. They refused to recognize him as the Messiah, despite the many proofs that were given that showed that he was the Messiah, fulfilled prophecy and the miracles and the teachings that he gave. But they would not recognize him. And now they're plotting against Jesus' disciples as well, having them arrested and thrown in jail. Now, it would be very easy for us to criticize their attitude and say, oh, those people, they were no good. But it is more profitable for us to realize that we are just as human as they were. And instead of criticizing them, we should take their mistakes as a warning, and we should examine our own hearts. We need to guard our own hearts to make sure that we don't become arrogant, that we don't become jealous, to make sure we don't become proud, so that we fail to recognize the work of God when God is moving. We need to walk in humility and obedience, following the example of our Lord Jesus, who was always humble and place others first. We can see Jesus' attitude, what he taught the disciples in Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. We'll look at some words from there. It says, Jesus is speaking and he says, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And as a reminder of Jesus' attitude also, I put a painting up here, a copy of painting. You see Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, Christ washing Peter's feet, painting by Ford Madox Brown, showing his humility and his desire to serve others. That is the attitude that we want to follow, is the attitude of humility that Christ taught. The Lord is patient and he gives grace. At the same time, though, we have to remember, it also said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have to remember the Lord is patient and he gives grace. He gives time for repentance, and he serves and helps others. But his patience is not without limit, and those who do wrong will eventually suffer the consequences. In the case of the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem that we were just talking about, You know, if we think about it, from the time that Jesus came and he drove the money changers out of the temple, that was a warning to those religious leaders because they were not taking the things of God seriously and they were allowing this buying and selling and money changing there in the place that should have been a place of prayer. And Jesus came and he drove out the animals and made them cease because his house is a place of worship and prayer. That was a warning to these religious leaders. And now, if we followed history, we'd see that 40 years later, about 40 years after Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple, the Jewish leaders were still not repenting. They were persecuting the followers of Christ, and they were continuing in arrogance in their actions. And the time of judgment came, and the Lord allowed the city of Jerusalem and the temple to be destroyed by the Roman armies. So we can understand this in context. You know, we have a picture here of the destruction of Jerusalem by David Roberts. And we can see that from the time that Jesus drove the money sellers and those who were dealing in animals in the temple, he drove them out, and this is a warning to that religious leadership and to those who were responsible for the upkeep of the temple, the high priest and the council. And the Lord gave 40 years for repentance, with many signs and proofs that he was Lord and that he's Messiah and that his disciples were doing his work. But when they did not repent still, in 70 AD, 40 years after the temple cleansing, we see that the Lord allows the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, in this painting by David Roberts, it's looking down on the city, and you can see here is the temple still standing. But after this, the temple is also burned, and it's taken down block by block and dismantled. I think when we consider this, I think God allowed the temple, his temple, to be destroyed for two reasons. The first is it's a judgment against the high priest and the Jewish leaders who continued to persecute the followers of Jesus out of anger and jealousy. And the second is that the purpose of the temple as a place of worship had been fulfilled and completed with the coming of Jesus. And it was time for worship at the temple to stop and for the worship of God to be centered in the church among the followers of Jesus. So the temple was no longer needed in God's plan. And he allowed it to be destroyed by the Romans. Just a little extra history along the way. Let's get back to today's passage. The Jewish leaders had the apostles arrested and thrown in jail. However, when people oppose the work of God, their plans do not succeed. That should be obvious, but when people oppose the work of God, those plans will not succeed. And in Acts 5, verse 19, the scripture tells us, "During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out," brought the apostles out. Now, in the Bible, we see angels performing many tasks. Angels rescue believers. Angels deliver messages from God. And sometimes angels even carry out God's judgments. This might make us wonder. Angels are so powerful. They can do so many things. Might make us wonder why God doesn't have the angels preach the good news of Jesus to the world. Do you ever wonder that? Do you ever wonder, why doesn't God just have the angels go out and preach the good news of Jesus to the world? The angels could do it so much faster and so much more efficiently than we do. And if angels appeared on the streets and began to preach, I'm sure that people would believe them very quickly because they would see that miraculous message. And yet God, in his wisdom, in his divine plan, he has given the task of preaching the good news of Jesus to the church. To all who trust in Jesus and believe in him, he's given us the role of spreading the good news of salvation through the work of cross on the Christ, the work of Christ on the cross and his resurrection, spreading that good news to all the world. In this age, that is in the church age, as long as the church is here, the task of reaching out to men and women of this fallen world and sharing the love of Jesus and the good news of salvation is given to us, the church. It's our role, our task, for all who believe in Jesus to share the good news with others. So the angel doesn't go to the temple courts and proclaim the gospel. Instead, he reminds the apostles and he sends them back out to preach the gospel. The angel says, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. The apostles obeyed the word brought by the angel and they returned to preaching in the temple. As soon as the morning came, they went back to the temple courts to preach. Now the Jewish leaders and guards were very puzzled as to how the apostles got out of jail. The guards are still standing in front of the jail. There's no sign of any disturbance, and yet they're gone because the angel brought them out. We don't know exactly how that worked. Maybe the angels put the guards to sleep for a moment. I don't know. But they led them out. The Jewish leaders, though, as soon as they heard that the apostles were once again preaching in the temple courts, they sent the guards to go arrest them again. And we'll talk about that part next week. For today, let's focus a little bit on this command the angel gave the apostles. Notice there are three key commands here. Three key words. Go, stand, tell. These three words teach us a lot about the gospel mission of taking the good news to the world. The first is go. In sharing our faith, we should be active, not passive. We cannot just stay at home and read our Bible or stay at the church and sit on Sunday morning and wait for people to come and ask us about Jesus. It's easy to imagine, right? Sitting there at the Kotatsu every day studying the Word, ready to share with anybody who comes and knocks on the door and asks about Jesus. But that's very passive. We can't just wait for everyone to come to us because most people will never come. We have to go to them. Go to the people. Go to everyone who hasn't heard about Jesus. And when we get there, we need to stand. We need to take a stand. This word speaks, I think, of perseverance. We don't just go once and give the message and then go home and say, well, we did it, we're done. No, we persevere in the work of sharing the good news of Christ. We continue. We take a stand in our efforts to share the gospel. And even when there is opposition or there is a lack of response, we don't give up, but we continue in many ways. The third word here is tell. We need to tell people about Jesus. If we don't tell them, they won't know about God's love. If we don't tell them about sin and repentance and forgiveness through the grace of God and His mercy, they won't know. If we don't tell them that Jesus died for them on the cross and that He rose again on the third day, they won't know. Most people will never know about this new life of salvation and through the grace of God and walking with Jesus unless we tell them. We need to tell people the full message of this new life, as the angel said. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? Sounds like you're all asleep. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, let's wake up. Yeah, praise the Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful promise. We should be excited about this. It's exciting. It's great. It's wonderful. It's such a blessing. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What wonderful grace. But when we continue reading in the same passage in Romans, the following verses tell us, or they ask us really, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now I have my shoes on, but if I took my shoes off and showed you my feet, you probably would not think they were so beautiful. You might be asking me to put my shoes back on. Please put your shoes and socks back on there, Pastor. But when we go forth, even these feet, when we go forth to share the love of Jesus in the eyes of God, we have beautiful feet. Because we're using those feet for God's work, for His glory, and to honor Him. Using the gifts that God has given us, our feet included, to share in His work. The Lord freely offers salvation to all who call on His name, but the message of the good news must be proclaimed to the people. And the Lord has given that mission to us, the church. We have different roles and different tasks in that, but we are all responsible, everyone who's trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, to help in sharing the good news with others, to share the love of Christ with others. In Mark 16:15 is one of several places that the command is given. Here it says, He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Praise the Lord. This is the command to the church as a whole. In every generation, the church is responsible to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. But what about the individual Christian? In a particular time and place. What about us? We cannot all go to every nation in the world and preach the good news. That would be quite impossible. We don't live long enough, and we don't have enough money for plane tickets. Many obstacles. But we all have a role in this great mission. There is a place for each of us to go, stand and tell the good news. After the angel led the apostles out of jail, he told them, go, stand in the temple courts. Tell the people the full message of this new life. On that day, for these apostles, the place of mission, the place they were to go and preach was the temple courts in Jerusalem. The big area around the temple there. They had an assigned place to go and share the good news, a mission from God. Each of us should also ask ourselves, where is my place to share the good news? Where are my temple courts? If we may use that word. In Mark 5:19, after Jesus had cast a demon out of a man, the man begged to go with Jesus. He wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus said, no. Look at what it says. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. For this man, on that day, the temple courts were his own home, his family, his friends, the people closest to him. And the Lord sent him back to share the good news with those people in his own home. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 1. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. With these words, Jesus sent out those 72 disciples, two by two, to go to all the little villages and the little towns and the crossroads all around the countryside to speak the good news that the Messiah had come, that the kingdom of God is near, and that Jesus would be following after them. On that day, for those 72, the temple courts were out in the little towns and villages all around through the countryside. Then we look at Acts chapter 16 and we see in verses 9 and 10, it says, Paul received a call, a mission call and a vision. It says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called on us to preach the gospel to them. Here, through a vision, God had given Paul and those with him a new assignment, a new place to go and preach, a new temple courtyard, temple courts, where they were to go and stand and tell the good news of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, of salvation, forgiveness of sins, and heaven through trusting in him. So we look at these various examples in Scripture, and we could give many more. And we see that although in today's passage the temple courts were very literally the courtyard around the temple in Jerusalem, that God sends his adopted children, those who believed in Jesus, the brothers and sisters of the church, out regularly to many different places to go and share the good news. One Christian may be sent to share the good news with their family. That may be the top priority, the most important place for them to share the good news of Jesus, may be right in the home where they sleep with their family. Another may be sent to their co-workers at their company. A third may be sent to preach in the streets of Osaka, maybe on the Shinsaibashi, I don't know. A fourth may be sent all the way up to Tohoku to help in the disaster area to share the love of Jesus there. And yet another may even be sent overseas to some other country or land. Or perhaps the same brother or the same sister might be sent to do all of these things at different times over the course of months or years. Year by year, day by day, we are each given our own temple courts where we are sent to share the love of Jesus, to go, to stand, and to tell the good news. The command to share the good news of Jesus with the whole world is given to the church as a whole, to all of us here and to all the churches throughout Osaka, throughout Japan, and around the world. But we each have our individual role, our individual place of ministry, our individual calling of how we should participate in sharing the good news. We have different gifts. We have different abilities. We won't all preach the good news in the same way. Not everyone, perhaps, will be called to stand on the street corner or to go to some far-off nation. But some are, and we are all called to share the good news as the Lord leads through his Holy Spirit and through his Scriptures and in our heart. Today I want to challenge all of those who've trusted in Jesus to ask the Lord in prayer, where are my temple courts? If you're here and you haven't yet trusted in Jesus, we're very glad you're here and we're very welcome. We encourage you to examine the good news of the gospel and learn. But for those who have believed, pray, where are my temple courts? And listen for the voice of the Lord. And the Lord may send one home to minister to their family. Another may be led to call up an old friend that they haven't talked to in a long time and invite them to church or invite them to lunch and share with them about Jesus. Yet another may find that the Lord gives them a burden to reach out to those they go to work with or that they go to school with and to share with those people that they meet Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Some may be sent out to the streets or the parks of Osaka or to other cities. The Lord may call someone even to move to another place and start a new ministry or even to plant a new church. But we know that however and wherever the Lord may lead us, we are not alone. We never have to worry about being alone because the Lord has promised to be with us always and forever. We have the command to go and we have the promise that the Lord is with us. What remains is to find out, will we obey? It's my prayer that each and every one of us would say yes to Jesus. And yes to his command to share his love with the people of the world. Let's close for today with Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. The verse is called the Great Commission, where we hear the command and the promise together. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name and give thanks for the wonders of your grace and mercy. You have shown your great love for us by sending your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. You've provided proof of your wonderful promises of forgiveness of sins and eternal life through raising Jesus from the dead. Through him, through Jesus, you've given us the command to take the good news to all of the world. Lord, come now and minister to us by your Holy Spirit. Touch our hearts and minds and open them so that we might hear your voice. Where are you sending us, Lord? To whom shall we go? And what is our place to stand and to tell the people the good news of grace and mercy? Lord, we have the command, we have the promises. Help us each to understand the role you have given us in the work of your kingdom. Speak to us, Lord, to your people. Give us the courage to speak to others about your amazing grace. Lord, we know that you care about each and every challenge we face in our lives. Come and minister to each of us. Bring healing for the sick, Lord. Give new strength to those who are tired and weak, new energy to those who are weary, new places of work for those who've lost their jobs and are in financial need, new hope for those who are discouraged, new joy for those who are feeling down or depressed. Strengthen them, bear them up. Give new wisdom to those who need direction in their lives. And bless each and every one of us with your powerful presence. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Renew in us the joy of salvation. In Jesus' holy name, his precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. The worship